Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching Crime Talk, a busy docket. First, the Netflix American Murder, The Family Next Door. Second, Breonna Taylor, new video. Third, a Louisiana priest accused of some crimes on the church altar. Fourth, a lazy mailman. Fifth, the Jonathan Pryce case. Sixth, how about a good guy story for once in a while? Seven, you can't plot to kidnap public officials. Hey, 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 Bill Cosby's going to get his appeal heard by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Thanks for watching Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased true crime channel on YouTube. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit that like button as well as hit the little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Thank you for watching. We know you have lots of choices. The fact that you come here does not go unnoticed. First, on the docket, Netflix American Murder, The Family Next Door. That's right, one of the most watched movies on Netflix this week. For those who have not heard about this movie on Netflix, it uses all of the video that was released by the district attorney, as well as all the other video that was released on the internet. I think that the movie was actually really done well. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't included, and fortunately, you can go to our playlist below and you can see everything that has been released. Specifically, take a listen to the babysitter's interview, the last person to see those children alive. Also, take a look at our video that we did that really got our channel going, which was, is this the email that predicted the future? One would kind of say it did. Now, we heard earlier this week that that guy named Chris, and we won't use his last name because the YouTube censors have completely given in to certain individuals and they don't want that guy named Chris to receive any notoriety. And I'm okay with that. However, we believe in the truth and the facts. That's all we're interested in. Let the chips fall where they may. We don't believe in censorship of any kind. So we know this guy named Chris, we won't use his last name, even though we do that so that the censors don't put our video at the bottom of the list due to very powerful forces with someone related to somebody within this case. But needless to say, we found out that this guy named Chris gets triggered by the mere thought that all this information and a documentary is out there on Netflix. We've also learned that his dating schedule is rather busy and he's keeping up with all those new pen pal requests. Don't really understand that, but it is what it is. I think the other thing that most people don't forget about, and we've talked about, and you can see all the interviews of Nicole Kessinger in our Watts playlist, is what's happened to her. She has literally fallen off the face of the earth. Now, her apartment, literally about 2 miles away from our office here. We've gone in the past, tried to see if we could find her, tried to locate her. We've even written a letter, sent it to her parents' home address, saying we would love to interview you, give you the full time, as much as you want, to tell your side of the story. Only heard crickets from the Kessingers. Some people, and possibly some databases out there, may actually show her in Oregon. We're still working on that, and if we get a good address, we'll still follow up with her to give her the opportunity to come on here and explain the circumstances. Was there any involvement anyway? Did she know what was going on? Or was she just as much of a victim as Shanann? We'll possibly never know. She has kept a very tight lip for sure. She has an open invitation. All she has to do is contact me. She knows how to do it. Be more than happy to talk with her. Obviously, Ms. Kessinger has never been charged and she's never been identified as anyone as a person of interest. We give everyone the presumption of innocence on this case and they have that until and if they are found guilty in a court of law or plead guilty. but we'd sure like to hear her story, wouldn't we? Next on the docket, Breonna Taylor. New body cam video has been released. This is the body cam video of the police officers going into the apartment after the shooting. It gives a lot of perspective that, frankly, I had a much different perspective of the house that things went down on. You can see very tight quarters when you watch these videos. It's worth watching. We'll put a link to it below. Next on the docket, a Louisiana priest accused of sex acts with two women on the church altar. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. A Catholic priest in Louisiana is accused of engaging in sex acts with two women on a church altar last month. Reverend Travis Clark, 37, now the former pastor of St. Peter's and Paul Roman Catholic Church, was booked on October 1st on obscenity charges stemming from the September 30th incident, which was reported to the police by a passerby. The good priest, Clark, was removed as a pastor the day after his arrest. The two women, Melissa Cheng, 23, and Mindy Dixon, 41, were also booked on the same count as the good priest, Mr. Clark. Police alleged that the obscene acts occurred on the altar, which is clearly visible from the street. According to court documents filed by the Pearl River Police Department, a passerby saw the lights on inside the church about 11 p.m. on September 30th, and the person called the police after claiming to see Clark half-naked on top of the altar, allegedly engaging in sex acts with the two women who were wearing high heels and corsets and were wielding sex toys. According to court documents, stage lights were set up at the altar along with a cell phone and a camera that were mounted on tripods. A passerby took a cell phone video of the alleged sex acts and called authorities. I love how these passerbys always have to record it themselves. Now Clark, who was ordained in 2013, had recently been named chaplain of the Pope John Paul II High School in Slidell, in addition to his duties at St. Peter's and Paul. Needless to say, attempts to contact Clark, Chen, and Dixon were not returned. The Archdiocese of New Orleans has also declined to comment, stating that they are also investigating the matter as well. You just can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I love about true crime. You can't make this stuff up. Next on the docket, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays the carriers from their swift completion of their appointed rounds. Well, that's what the postal carrier's slogan used to be, and I guess that applies unless, of course, your carrier is lazy. A New Jersey postal worker was arrested Wednesday for allegedly discarding nearly 2,000 pieces of mail, including voting ballots. Now, the United States Attorney for the District of New Jersey said in a statement that Nicholas Bouchane threw out mail that was to be delivered to West Orange residents. Court documents allege that Bouchane threw 1,875 pieces of mail into dumpsters in North Arlington and West Orange on October 2 and October 5th. Prosecutor said the delivery dates and addresses on the recovered mail matched up with Bouchane's mail route and schedule. Mr. Bouchane has been charged with delay, secretion, or detention of mail and obstruction of mail. The assistant United States attorney says there's no indication that Bouchane's actions were politically motivated. It's probably just because he was lazy. Now, you would be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, these cases happened quite often. I actually had one of my first cases many, many years ago where my client was eligible for a probationary sentence in federal court because he was a mail carrier and he didn't deliver the mail and he got caught. And I was very excited because I thought he was going to get probation. Unfortunately, I was in front of Judge Mache. Now, Judge Mache was a great judge. He was the one that oversaw the Oklahoma City bombing case to its conclusion and was a very no-nonsense judge. And if anyone's ever been in front of Judge Mache, they would concur with my assessment of him. Very smart judge, very no-nonsense, and he followed the law. And He grew up in a small rural part of Colorado, and he was incensed that a mail carrier would do such a thing and sentenced him to prison for 1 year because he said that people rely upon the mail, and if you can't trust the mailman, who can you trust? Mail delivery is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen, but somehow they always seem to find people that think that they don't want to deliver the mail because that's their job, or they think that you don't want to see the mail, so they'll just keep it back for themselves. Mr. Bouchain, I think when all is said and done, you're probably going to go to prison. We'll keep following this because mail cases, for some reason, just really interest me. Let's take a quick recess. If there's one thing you can be absolutely certain about is that you don't know all the time with whom you are dealing with. The best way to do that is get as much information about a particular person that you can. What's the best way of doing that? That's right. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. And when you do, there's a nominal fee, but you can cancel at any time. When you have that subscription, you can search anonymously as many people as you want, and you are going to get information regarding phone numbers associated with that person, addresses, emails, social media, criminal history, personal property records, divorce records. It's all going to be there for you to take a look at and see if what the person is telling you about themselves is actually true. Go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, let's talk about the case of Jonathan Price. You may not have heard much about this particular case, but Jonathan Price was an unarmed black man who was killed by a white Texas police officer over the weekend and had offered a handshake and asked the officer if he was doing good before the encounter turned deadly. This is based upon newly released arrest affidavit. Jonathan Price, 31, died after being shot four times at a scene that was captured on the officer's body-worn camera Saturday night at a gas station in Wolf City. The footage, which hasn't been released, apparently was critical in the charging decision of the police officer. Now, the police officer is a rookie cop, a 22-year-old by the name of Sean Lucas. And obviously, he has the presumption of innocence. Now, family and friends say that Price, a one-time college football player, described as a hometown hero, was acting as a good Samaritan, was trying to stop a domestic assault inside a gas station's convenience store when the officer arrived. A lawyer representing the family of Mr. Price say that Mr. Price raised his hands and tried to explain what was happening when Officer Lucas opened fire. The affidavit released Wednesday by the Texas Department of Public Safety raises even more questions about the officer conduct. It says that when Lucas arrived at the store to investigate a possible fight around 8:30 p.m., Price asked, "You doing good?" several times and offered to shake the officer's hands. Price even apologized for broken glass on the ground and told Lucas that someone had tried to wrap me up, according to the affidavit. But the officer told detectives he thought Price was intoxicated and decided to detain him. The personal trainer and bodybuilder allegedly replied, "I can't be detained," and began to walk away as Lucas grabbed his arm and showed a stun gun. The officer then tased the unarmed Price, who appeared to reach out to grab the taser from him. That's when he was shot four times in the torso. State authorities said in a statement Monday that Price resisted in a non-threatening posture and began walking away, but they added that the officer's actions were not objectively reasonable. Lucas, the officer, soon to be former officer, is being held on a $1 million bond at the Hunt County Jail. Now, the usual defense for officers to get in trouble is that Officer Lucas, and through his attorney, has stated that he only discharged his weapon in accordance with Texas law when he was confronted with an aggressive assailant who was attempting to take his taser. We'll see how this shakes out, but obviously, the district attorney believes that the officer's actions were not justified. We'll continue to follow this case. It hasn't received much attention, but we will follow it here. Next on the docket, how about a good guy story for a change? and the good guy here is a locksmith who saves a Utah woman who wrote 911 on her hand after the ex broke into her house and wouldn't let her leave. A man by the name of Grant Eggerston has reportedly been charged with aggravated kidnapping in the course of committing an unlawful detention, criminal trespass, and assault after the locksmith alerted authorities. Now, the locksmith in Utah helped to save the woman who was trapped inside her home by an ex-boyfriend. The locksmith, who's only been identified by the first name of Greg, was alerted to the woman's predicament after she showed him 911 written on her hand. According to police reports, he noticed during the job that the man in the house acted rather suspicious and that he stayed close to the female and only allowed her to give her phone with his permission. The locksmith, Greg, told the authorities that the woman showed him her hand more than once, which prompted him to call 911 after he left. Grant Eggerston, who's obviously given the presumption of innocence, has been identified as the woman's ex, who allegedly would not let her leave. It's alleged that Eggerston arrived at the woman's house last Thursday, and the pair got into an argument about her dating somebody else. He allegedly assaulted her, then kept her in the house and took her phone away. Sounds like a real classy guy. And for those of you who don't understand sarcasm, that was sarcasm. Mr. Eggerston was released on a $5,000 bond. It's unclear when his next court date will be. But a good shout out to locksmith Greg for being alert and not being afraid to get involved in a situation where you just had the feeling something was wrong. Good for you. Next on the docket, some free legal advice. You can't go around conspiring to kidnap government officials, ladies and gentlemen. That's free advice. I hope you take it. Because there are 13 men who somehow thought that that would be a good idea. And those 13 men, some of whom have been accused of actually plotting to storm the state capitol building and planning to start a civil war in Michigan. That's right. Once again, you can't make this stuff up. Many of the 13 thought that it'd be a good idea to storm the state capitol of Michigan, instigate a civil war. Oh, and by the way, maybe we could kidnap and abduct the governor while we're at it. But federal and state officials in Michigan on Thursday announced a terrorism, conspiracy, and weapons charges against 13 men. At least six of them, officials said, had hatched a detailed plan to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who has become a focal point of anti-government views and anger over the coronavirus control measures. According to the FBI, these alleged kidnappers planned the alleged kidnapping over the summer for firearms training and combat drills and practice building explosives. Members also gathered several times to discuss the mission, including in the basement of a shop that was accessible only through a trap door under a rug. Apparently, they put Ms. Whitmer's vacation home under surveillance, and they even scouted highway bridges for places that they could place and detonate a bomb to distract authorities. And what they wanted to do was to get the good governor and put her on trial. Now, obviously, they don't have any legal jurisdiction. However, once again, because I've done this for 25 years, I have represented individuals in this particular type of situation where they made threats and wanted to maybe kidnap some judges and try them for treason, and it didn't go well for them. You can't go around doing that. If you don't like politicians, guess what you do? You vote them out. You maybe hold a recall election, but you can't plot to overthrow them. That's kind of treasonous. You got to go through the political process. Otherwise, you could find yourself sitting in a federal prison for the remainder of your life. So just like when you can go protest, you can't go around destroying things. You can get involved in politics, but as soon as you want to start kidnapping people, you've taken it to a whole new level. Don't do it. Hey, 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 that's right. Bill Cosby's gonna get his appeal heard by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Now, Mr. Cosby was convicted in 2008 for drugging and sexually assaulting a former Temple University employee. Andrea Constand had claimed that the comedian gained her trust before allegedly sexually assaulting her. sexually assaulting her at his home in 2004. He is less than 2 years into a 3 to 10 year sentence in prison, where he resides currently just outside of Philadelphia. A previous ruling by the court granted the former actor and comedian the ability to appeal two issues in the case. One issue pertains to the witnesses who testified about alleged assaults that were not part of the charges. We've talked about this before on Crime Talk. This is what you refer to as 404B evidence, not charged, but brought in to show that persons acted in conformity with a certain motive, modus operandi, or absence of mistake. And the second issue involves the prior district attorney's decision not to charge Cosby a decade ago. Mr. Cosby's legal team is going to argue that the evidence was not substantially related to the charges that were actually heard in court, that it was prejudicial and resulted in an unfair trial. I can tell you, as a defense attorney, I hate 404B evidence. I personally think if the DA's case is so strong, they don't need to bring in bad character evidence, because normally you can't bring in anyone's prior criminal history whatsoever or bad acts. One of the fundamental principles is that you're tried based upon the charges before the court, not your past history. 404B tries to get around it. I think it's completely inappropriate in about 99% of the cases, and hopefully the court will start limiting this. We'll see what happens for Mr. Cosby, but good judges will interpret the law as written and let the chips fall where they may. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Then we'll give you a recap of our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. A Florida man faces voter fraud charges after he said he wanted to test the system when he tried to obtain a mail-in ballot for his deceased wife. Now, this is a teachable moment when people do not smart things. That's right. It is not a legal defense of, I just wanted to test the system. That's like saying, I wanted to rob the bank to see if my money would be safe in here. So Mr. Larry Wiggins, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And now you have some competition, but Mr. Wiggins, you could be the dumb criminal contestant of the week. And what prize would you win? That's right. Perhaps not free legal advice. You can watch that here on Crime Talk, but that's right. You'll be sent a free mug, a free Crime Talk mug. We'll find you, we'll mail it to you, and you could be a happy man, because certainly being arrested for obtaining a ballot for your deceased wife probably makes you sad. Now, a recap of our contestants this week. First, we had Beth Ann. That's right. She took some bad meth to the police department and turned it in, saying that it was bad meth, low quality. You gotta love people out there making citizens' arrests for drug dealers. That's right. Here's some bad meth. Well, guess what? It gets you charged, Beth Ann. Bad decision. Then we have David Dunaway. What did he do? He was the man dressed only in his underwear, stealing a neighbor's mail, attempted to whack the neighbor with the mail until she pulled out a firearm to protect herself. Mr. Dunaway, you are also a dumb criminal contestant in the running for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Also, yesterday, we have three now former officers in Oklahoma City who tortured prisoners playing the Baby Shark song. Now, that may be kind of funny, but when you handcuff people to a wall, that could be perceived as torture, even if they thought that it was funny. It's not. You can't do that. We're the good guys. We're supposed to do things better and cleaner than everybody else. So, those three Oklahoma detention officers, you are also in the running. We only had four this week because I was in trial. Yes, where I got my not guilty verdict, we'll take that for sure. So make sure you vote. We'll tally up the comments of the winner and declare the winner next week. Want to thank you all for watching. We'll be putting up the best of Crime Talk this week. Don't forget to watch that. Make sure you go and listen to the Breonna Taylor grand jury transcripts, as well as watch the videos that have been released from the body cam footage the night she was killed. Get the facts yourself. Don't rely upon what everyone else is telling you. Look for yourself. Listen yourself. Watch for yourself. Then make a decision. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. We'll see you next week.